For CJLO News, I'm Jeremy Lefebvre. This Saturday, September 6th, the Montreal Alouettes will host the Hamilton Tiger Cats at the Percival Molson Stadium. The football team appears to be getting healthy, according to the injury report that was released on Tuesday. Alouettes coach Jason Mass told local media on Tuesday that finding healthy players has been a headache for them last month, and he's happy that the team is making a recovery. The game this Saturday will be broadcasted on TSN and RDS in Canada, as well as the CFL Plus network for international viewers. Wildfires continue to burn in British Columbia's lower mainland, with wind pulling smoke in from as far as Yukon and the Southwest Territories. The North Shore, Burnaby, and New Westminster are the regions most affected by the wildfire pollution. Dr. Sarah Henderson said in an interview that the smoke is arriving at the same time as a burst of hot weather, which increases health risks. As of Wednesday, there were 58 out of 155 active wildfires listed as out of control in the region. This Wednesday, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, also known as the RCMP, arrested 17 adults as part of a raid on the Queen of Canada cult compound in Richmond, Saskatchewan. Inspector Ashley St. Germain said the RCMP executed a warrant at a decommissioned school in Richmond following a firearms investigation. Over 30 police vehicles and two tactical vehicles participated in the raid on the school. Ramona DiDulo, the cult leader, and her followers have been living in the village of Richmond for 2 years. Inspector St. Germain said the investigation remains ongoing and no charges have been laid. For more, go to cglo.com/news or follow CGLO News on Spotify.
Try. of another, in the presence of another, in the presence of another.
Cinéma Public, nous proposons une programmation en salle composée de films d'ici et de nouveautés internationales, de classiques et des pépites méconnues, ainsi que de courts-métrages et des séances familiales. Nos billets sont parmi les moins chers à Montréal, 10$ au tarif régulier et 8$ pour les étudiants, les enfants et les aînés. Nous offrons également des cinécartes de 6 billets pour encore plus d'économies. Venez nous voir à la Casa d'Italia, juste en face de la station Jean Talon. Et rendez-vous au cinémapublic.ca pour découvrir notre programmation. Le cinéma public pour un cinéma vivant.
For the best new music from around the globe, with a respectful nod to the musical pioneers of the past, and a whole lot more, join me, Danny Payne, on The Pressure Drop, every Monday at 5 on CGLO 1690 AM or CGLO.com.
Like Scoob, we're all out of Scooby snacks.
Zoinks,
what are we going to do now?
CJLO?
CJLO? Like that super swell, Scoob.
Roll me roll.
Windows open wide, and I'm on fire rings out through the night. keeping my hands to myself till the feeling's right. Take a shot in the dark and ask me what I like. It's not hard to guess what I wanna do now. So make your bed on the floor and bring us to the ground. His hand on my neck and your mouth in his mouth. Kiss me like a lover, baby. Ask me how I felt. Give it to me how I want. Watch me saying goodbye. If I ever get the courage to go for a while, I've been longing for wide open skies stretched over me. Take me driving over the long, long country. Time I look down at my skin, I fall apart. My body separates from me while lying in the dark. I wanna feel good. I wanna feel good. I wanna feel good every hour of the day. I wanna feel good. I wanna feel good.
Go forward. everyone. My name is Beatrice, and this is my show, The Waxing Gibbous, where every other week I make a playlist with the month as a theme. Today is a special show because it is the Frankie Cosmos show. So far I've played some songs by the opening act of the Frankie Cosmos show that's going to be the September 16th at Le Bar Le Ritz. So there's been two songs by Moon Type, and now there's Pressed Flowers by Frankie Cosmos soon in probably around 10 minutes because my phone is bugging and won't transfer the file. The interview will play, but this is Pressed Flower by Frankie Cosmos. Enjoy.
Pressed into me like a flower among birds. Done growing and willing to be preserved. The motherfucking escapes me. Look, all that time is spent trying to make me alone. Myself.
So the long-awaited time for the interview has arrived. This is Frankie Cosmos, well, Greta from the Frankie Cosmos band.
Cosmos?
That's me.
So the name Frankie Cosmos, where does that come from?
The name came from, I was in high school when I started, well, I was probably like 15 when I started writing songs regularly.
Yeah.
And I was sort of like trying out different like artist names. And Frankie Cosmos came from something that like my high school boyfriend named me, kind of. It was like a stage name. Like I sang with him and he like introduced me to the stage as Frankie. And it was kind of like, it was because we both, because I really loved the poet Frank O'Hara, mm-hmm. and I had like shared that with him, and we just both really loved those poems. And so he started calling me Frank, and it just kind of like became, it felt like a really natural name for me. And then it felt like it also made sense as a band name. So it was like a perfect kind of, I felt like I'd really found the right name for the project.
That's so nice. Have you always been in a band, or did it start as like a solo act?
It started as like a solo sort of songwriting project, but I've never really, like from the time that I started playing live, it was immediately pretty much a band.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I remember I used to listen to your songs like way back when, like Sappho and Fool.
Cool.
They're like on all my studying playlist. It was
oh,
great.
Sweet.
So back to those ones were like solo projects, right?
No, those were with the band.
Oh, okay, cool. And like, so when you write songs like that, is it like, do you personally write them all alone, or is it like more of a collective thing?
I write all the songs by myself and then sort of like arrange them with the band. So like any other instruments on there, like the bass, the drums, the keyboards, and like most of the harmonies, everyone's like writing their own parts. So it's always been collaborative, like once it goes to the recording phase of like bringing in that other instrumentation. But like the actual sort of like structure of the song in terms of like the chords and the lyrics and the melody, and like if I had to play it, you know, by myself, I could. That's always sort of a process that I do by myself.
Cool. Do you have like instrument you write with?
Yeah, I usually write on guitar and then sometimes like on keyboard.
Nice. So I write music, but when I write it, it's always feeling like very diary, like I'll be like pissed off and then I start writing a song, you know? Does it feel like that for you when you start writing, or is it you sit down, you're like, okay, I'm going to write a song, pull up my guitar, and we're thinking about this?
I think it's more like your process. Like, I definitely don't force myself as much as I probably should to like write when I'm not like already sort of feeling spark and inspiration. So like it definitely comes from like, I'm feeling pissed off, let's write a song right now. Or suddenly I'm singing something to myself. Like, honestly, a lot of my songwriting process starts when I'm just like out on the street on a walk, let's say, and then I sing a little melody and like some words that I'm feeling to myself. And then I go expand on that when I get home. Or I'll write like a bunch of lyrics, you know, in my phone or my notebook, like, and then I go and turn it into a song later. But definitely like the words part for sure comes from like right from the feeling a lot of the time.
Like melody and like the guitar part is more like working, right?
Yeah, sometimes, unless it comes like at the same time, which is pretty rare, but or lucky when that happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do feel like sometimes that I wish that I could like say, I'm going to write a song about this, and then like really curate a thing that, you know, elicits an emotion. But it's like, I really can't control. I feel like I can't. Yeah. I do feel like I'm not in control of like how the song turns out.
Get that, yeah.
Sometimes it really is just like, I have to make it and it has to be a certain way that I can't fix it. And I'm kind of purist to like that first feeling a lot of the time where I'm like, I have to keep that first lyric, even though it's cringy or whatever.
Yeah, no, it gets so hard to like write songs that you're like, okay, when I reread, I'm like, oh wait, that's kind of cringe, isn't it? But I liked it when I wrote it, so maybe it's still good.
Yeah, like it captured that feeling in that moment. And so you can't fight it.
So when writing like an album and like going into, like, do you go to a specific studio to do it, or is it more like an at home?
This album is the first time that we like sort of built a studio in home, but normally we have gone in the past to like just a place that you, different places that you've like pay by the day to use, but we also have a practice space that we rehearse in, where we like do most of the prior, like the arrangement part of the process comes first.
Yeah. Okay. So like when you have those kind of like planned times, then does the songwriting become more complicated, especially like when writing an album? Like, are you thinking of like the globality of it, or is it just like this song?
Yeah. I feel like it's embarrassing to admit maybe, but I don't really like write an album. I feel like I think a lot of the time I'm kind of grasping at straws to figure out what the theme of an album is afterwards, because what it really is like, I wrote a bunch of songs and these are the songs that I wrote over the past however many years. And then these are the ones that kind of like rose to the top of like our list of favorites and that we worked on with the band and we liked how they turned out. And then those end up being on an album together, but they might not always feel cohesive to like, but I kind of think that my belief is that they are cohesive because
they definitely are. Like, yeah. I listened to the album and I was like, this all kind of seemed like its own realm.
Totally.
Also, it's just like the human experience.
Yeah. And exactly. I do think of it sort of as like, it is like having a journal where, you know, you have your journals from the last 2 years and those are going to feel cohesive regardless because it's your life in that way. But I do think this album particularly has a kind of maybe like more cohesive sound than anything else, because we were arranging the songs in the same place where we were recording them. And we were like living there and we were kind of like having this, it was a much more sort of like, it was a much more cohesive process, I think, than previous ones.
Yeah. There's not like that separation of like having to change space and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's like a lot of the time when we're arranging, especially in like our practice space, we're like, yeah. And then when we get to the studio, we could find a cool keyboard sound and then there will be something doing this kind of thing. And it's sort of like, it was cool to instead be like, let's find it right now. Let's find the sound we're going to use right now. And so the practice ended up sounding a lot closer to the record than there wasn't this sort of like imagination element to the arranging process.
So was it sort of like a writing it while recording it kind of situation?
Definitely like arranging it while recording it. Yeah. The songwriting really stretches over such a long period of time for this album. I mean, for all my albums, it's like, it's usually I'm just going through like a trove of demos.
Yeah.
That, you know, the oldest song on this record is from like 2015. And then the majority of it is from the last like 2 years, but it's kind of like all over the place in terms of
like
writing.
Sort of like voice memo recordings or actual like demos that you can.
Demos that I made. Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
But then we arranged them all like very much in the course of like a month.
Oh yeah. Oh, so the whole album was like recorded in a month.
It was like 40 days.
That's like so impressive.
Yeah.
That's like the usual time to like record music. That just seems like such a short amount of time.
It was very concentrated. I mean, it was, I guess, I don't know, to me that was the longest I've ever spent making a record.
Okay. Is this your longest record?
I don't think so. It's up there.
Yeah. I don't know. Like when I record songs, it will take me like a year. Recorded a song in 2 years. I also do it like alone.
At least see how that could happen.
Yeah.
But yeah. Just because you're like, well, what if I want to sit with it and listen to it and see if I could do it better, you know?
Exactly. But I mean, 40 days is good.
Yeah.
Especially for how great it sounds.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's like amazing.
Thanks.
So you've done like collaborative projects with like a bunch of bands. There's like Poison Ooze, which is an amazing song. Yeah. And like, how is that experience of like writing with other people compared to like writing alone?
Yeah, it's definitely different. I think it's almost like less pressure because it's not totally like doesn't feel so much like a representation of like my soul, the way that writing like my own song from scratch is, where it's like exactly what.
Very vulnerable.
Yeah. So it's fun to just kind of be like, oh, this is someone else's project. And especially when they're kind of like letting me do whatever I want, which is a perfect combination because it is like an expression of my soul, but I don't have to like take as much accountability for it or something. It's like, this is their song. And whatever I'm writing is kind of inspired by the instrumental they're sending me. In the case of like Poison Ooze, where I basically just sang over something that, you know, TV Girl and George Clanton had already made. So yeah, it was really fun. And it's cool because it's like, it weirdly does feel kind of in the thread of the album that we had just recorded, because Different Talking has like a lot of, I think one of the themes on it that stands out to me is like gentrification and stuff about like my city and the city changing. Yeah. And then Poison Ooze is kind of like, has a similar theme where it's kind of about like someone like ruining a part of town for you in this way. And it's like, it's angry and it's kind of accusatory, and like it just feels like similarly, like you can, like I can see the thread between them, even though sonically I think they're really different. And like,
oh yeah, yeah,
in terms of like my songwriting process, they're pretty different.
That's cool. Yeah, there is like in the album, your album, it's very much like it feels like it's a representation of like what society is becoming and like the negatives in that, but also some positives, and it's very nice. Okay, here, let me read my list. Oh yeah, do you listen to like the type of music you write, or are you different genre completely?
That's a good question. I think like I really struggle with like genre in general. Like I don't totally know what genre our music even is. Yeah. But I do think like everything you listen to ends up like influencing the stuff you write for sure. I try to keep up with music, and I also like very often go through phases where like I'm not exploratory in my music listening, and I'm just like listening to the one thing that I like over and over again. Which this summer has been sort of this Australian indie rock, like Good Morning is one of my favorite bands.
Good Morning, that's so good. Yeah.
And I think they were probably, I think listening to their music probably influenced Different Talking, because we like toured with them and we're just listening to their records so much. And I just love their music. And then there's another Australian band called Way Dynamic, which is like their bandmate. And one of the guys from Good Morning like produced his record, and it's just been like my favorite thing I've been listening to this summer, where it's got that, you know, a little bit of that Good Morning style. And it's also totally like not the same musically, but yeah, I think usually I just get like addicted to like a song and I'll listen to that, or an album and I'll just listen to that. And it's, I think my tendency as a music listener is honestly like, if I have a headache and I need to listen to something soothing, that's like the most time that I listen to music, is like headache healing music.
You don't listen to much music?
I don't, unless we're like in the car.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's a lot of sort of just like music in the background of things. I'm not a super, I'm not someone who like often has music playing like in my house or anything.
Right. I think that's good though. I don't know. I find like when I listen to too much music, I like can't even write music anymore, because then I'm like so stuck and like.
Exactly. Because then you have someone else's song in your head. Yeah. There's no room for your own song to like pop up.
Wait, so like, is your like not listening to music that much like purposeful, or is it just like, it's not your thing?
Both. I mean, sometimes I go through phases where, yeah, I like really want to listen to music, and I do love, there is music that I love, and there's music that I love new music too. Like there's stuff that, you know, there's bands that I'm excited about and I love to go see them. I love live music, and I'm definitely like inspired by music. I'm not like actively like avoiding it, but I, but music. What'd you say?
There's no way to like not be inspired by the music.
Ever. Totally. But I do think I don't listen to music as much as maybe And I think it's actually comes from like a more of a, I think it comes from like a respect of music. Like, I don't like when music is kind of like playing in the background. I'm either listening to music or I'm not listening to music.
Hey.
Like if it's playing at a restaurant, that's like so distracting to me because I want to be like paying attention to the song when it's playing.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. I think it's good.
I think so too. I think everyone, to each their own, you know?
I mean, I like will have to listen to, if I'm studying, I have to be listening to like EDM, which Whoa. Is, yeah, because or else I'm like, there's not enough going on. I'm not focusing.
Oh.
In, like restaurants, if there's music playing, I like can't keep into a conversation.
Totally.
So I'm like, I think I get where you're coming from. I just am the type to always listen to music and then just struggle. Do you struggle sometimes with like writer's block?
I don't know if I have writer's block. I mean, I definitely go through lulls in terms of writing, but I'm pretty, I give myself a lot of grace. Like I kind of think that it's my belief that you're always writing whether or not you realize it. So like everything you're doing is contributing to that process. Like I think living your life is like part of the writing process. So whether or not I'm like, yeah. So if I'm like not actively writing, I'll be like, okay, well, I'm going to write it. I'm going to write something down eventually. This is just the part where I'm brewing.
Yeah. I think that's good. I think like when people are like focusing on the writer's block, it just like makes it all worse. But like,
yeah,
I feel like writing does come in. Like there's cycles where like, you just have nothing to say. And then it will all come at one point.
I also like, I really like visual art and like drawing and doodling and painting. And I think like sometimes I go through a phase where it's like, that's just what I want to do. And it's like expressing something internal in a way that's like not through words. And I think that is like also part of it. You know, it's like sometimes you just want to make something that doesn't, it's like the difference between like painting a portrait of someone and painting like an abstract, you know, thing. Like they're both expressing something and one of them is more, whatever, they just are different. And I think that there's like a nice balance there where I kind of, if I'm not feeling super inspired to write a song or I don't have an idea, I can easily just like play with, I like to think of art making as like a very playful process. So it's like, I can just mess around and make something bad or make a drawing or there's always something to be made. And I think I'm not too harsh on myself about like, you know, churning something out.
Like scheduled. So yeah, you've been playing shows for like a long time. Does it like, do you still get like stage? Well, have you ever gotten stage fright or was just like, how is that?
Yeah, I think I did have stage fright. Yeah. I think that it's always been like, I don't know. It's for a long time, like for the first like 10 years that I was doing it, it really felt like the stage part didn't come as naturally to me. It was more like
stage presence.
Yeah. Just being on stage was not like the goal of the project for me. It was more like I wanted to write songs and it didn't, it just felt like being on stage was sort of like the career part of the business where it's like you have to go on tour to kind of like sell the album and stuff. But as I've gotten older and more comfortable, I've just had so much practice being on stage and now it feels like something that's like part of the process for me. And like, I'm so much more comfortable and enjoy playing shows more. And I think it just is like maybe partly like a little bit of just an attitude adjustment. Mm-hmm. And I think COVID was like a big shift for me where suddenly I didn't get to be on stage and I was like, wait, I missed that. I didn't realize that that was like something I was really needing as part of my life. And I think ever since, you know, 2023, when we started touring again, it's felt like much more of a necessary part of like my artistic practice.
Okay. Do you see like shows kind of like as like a like performance art, or is it more like you're focusing on the music and like less the stage pressure? I mean, obviously like you're doing both, but like do you have one that you like prioritize?
I mean, I definitely prioritize like bringing the song to life. So I think a huge part of that is like before we go on the tour, just working on the arrangements and like we're all playing so many parts and there's so many instruments like and we're switching around a lot and there's a lot of like just everybody trying to make sure that all the parts are kind of like covered, because there's four of us and a lot of the songs have like, let's say, three guitars and drums and two keyboards. And it's like, how do we kind of translate this to the four person, you know, live version? And so that's like a very fun kind of puzzle part of it. So once we kind of like get comfortable having memorized how to play the songs together, and like you can kind of have more fun with the performance element, which is like being like, I'm a rock and roller. I'm going to like do a
right.
windmill, and I'm going to like go, you know, try to like touch my bandmate with my foot or whatever, like just something to be more like connected and make eye contact with each other and like get outside of your own mindset of, you know, being alone in your room playing a song with your eyes closed. And then you're really like there with the audience, and you're, there's an exchange of sort of like energy that's hard to explain, but like,
yeah.
It does feel very much like the song is like this alive thing in the room, and you're like, you know, all in it together in this way. Yeah. So I think I really do kind of like, time stops when I'm on stage. Like sometimes I just can't believe that like an hour went by and we've been playing, because it feels like this thing outside my, it's like an out of body experience for me a little bit.
Kind of like black out when you play.
Kind of. Yeah.
You get scared that you're like, forget the lyrics. I feel like there's so many songs. Like every time I watch a concert, I'm like, how, like, that's crazy.
There are so many lyrics, and especially our songs are very short, and we're memorizing, like, you know, to play an hour set, it's usually about 25 songs or 30 songs, which is like a lot. And it's a lot of, okay, what instrument do I play on this one? And what are the chords? And what are the lyrics? And what's the structure? And how many beats between this part and that part? And any little weird things you've had to memorize about the arrangement. But it's definitely a brain test, a memory test. And I think there's like an element of muscle memory with lyrics for me, but there's also, sometimes it is like, if it's too muscle memory, then you're not like feeling them as much. And so I like to really like think about what the lyrics mean to me in that moment when I'm singing them. Cause it's like, I am ultimately trying to like express an emotion. So I don't want it to, but it is like, it's so intense that I think it can still feel like, even if you're really like in it in that way, it can still feel like, you can still kind of black out through it.
Do you ever end up like preferring your live versions to your recorded versions?
There's definitely like, I think, merit that comes with like playing stuff live before you record it, because you can kind of try stuff out and see. Sometimes the song really does like change, or there's like little flourishes that get added into a live version of a song that are not true to the like recording if you record it like before you play it a bunch live. I think like an example of that is there's a melody in Outside with the Cuties that like I changed for the live set that like I don't even know if I could remember listening to it, like what the actual original one is. Like I know that what I'm singing is not what's on the record, and yet to me that's how the song goes.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. So how do you prepare for live performances? Like what is the rehearsal? Like, is it like months of rehearsal? How does that work?
Yeah, I think right now it's definitely months of rehearsal because we have a new record. Like sometimes, and I think we're also just kind of wanting to add new stuff and like new old material into the live set. So I think for the last few years, especially, it's been a lot of rehearsal because we're constantly like there's hundreds of songs that I could play, but in order to have like my bandmates know how to play them, we have to like decide which ones we're gonna know how to play as a band. So we've kind of just been working slowly on training the band to like know maybe like 40 songs that we all feel like we could play, and then just figuring out different set lists and versions of those.
Is it changing the set list?
Yeah, I mean, we change it. It just depends on like, you know, we just played a festival and it was like, we're not just going to play like so much of our new album, we got to play, you know, the old stuff, and it's a city we've never been to. And, you know, there's songs that are sort of like always going to be on the set list. Like, I think Fool and Sappho are pretty like, those are ones that people want to hear. And yeah, just trying to hit things that are exciting to us from the old records and then play a bunch of the new record, because we're also just excited to be playing that. So yeah, just working on, we just like to be well rehearsed, because I like to be able to be like, oh, let's play Too Dark tonight, even though we haven't played it in like 6 months. But luckily we all like know how to play it.
So you haven't done a show in Montreal before, right?
I have. I just haven't been there in a long time.
Okay, I was like looking it up and I was trying to do research and I was like, I'm not finding information.
I'll tell you. Hold on. I can tell you exactly when we played there last. Oh, okay. It was probably like 2019. Let's see. Yeah, we played there in 2019 at L'Astral.
L'Astral, okay. I don't know that specific one.
Yeah, and then I played at Theatre Fairmount in 2019.
Yeah. That's nice.
And I actually played Bar Le Ritz before in, this is going to seem so long ago, let me see, 2015, I think.
Oh my God, okay.
And La Vitrola in 2015.
Okay, you've been to Montreal a lot.
I've been there four times. I've been to Montreal four times. Okay. But over the course of 10 years. So it's definitely been, 6 years since I've been, so.
Does it get nerve-wracking, though, going to these new cities where you don't know how, like, what the audience is like?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's definitely, like, you never know what it's going to be like till you get to the show. I mean, even in a city that I've been to before, it's like, it's actually maybe even scarier to play somewhere that you've played more recently, because you're like, what if nobody comes because they just all saw us play last time we were here? It's like, hopefully in Montreal people are, you know, excited for us to play because we haven't been there in a while. So hopefully people come. But I think I'm always nervous beforehand, like that no one's going to show up, and then it's just a relief if anybody's there.
The like nightmare of going on stage and it's just like empty.
Totally.
I don't think that would happen, though.
I hope not.
Right. Your show is, I'm pretty sure, September 16th, and it's at Bar Le Ritz, which is like very intimate. It's like a very cute venue. Like, how is it different to play like venues that are super intimate, like crowded, and like festivals where it's outside, it might be bright out? How's that?
Yeah, I think they both are fun. I prefer playing like a small intimate show. And especially because when you're playing a smaller show, like it's our show, you know, it's like people are there because they want to see our show. And at a festival, sometimes it's like, they don't know what they're seeing. You're just one of many bands that they're going to see. So I think it feels more intimate already to have people that are like going to the Frankie Cosmos gig. And yeah, I think it's nice. I tend to try and like really, you know, immerse myself in the show experience. Like, I'm usually like in the audience watching the opening bands, and like I'll be meeting people at the merch table, and like I'm like anybody else at the show.
You're also enjoying the show.
Yeah, like the whole point is to enjoy the show, and I'm really excited about like the opening bands that we're going to be touring with, and like excited to see them play. And so I think it'll just be fun. I'm excited to go to, what's the bagel place that's so good in Montreal that we always go to?
There's two. There's Fairmount, and there's, what's the other one? They're like a family business that got separated into two places. It's Fairmount and, let me look it up.
Yeah, I feel like it might be Fairmount.
Important information.
Yeah, that is important.
Let's see. Oh, and Saint-Viateur.
Okay, I don't know that name, so it's definitely Fairmount.
I honestly recommend Saint-Viateur more than Fairmount. But okay. I don't know if you should take that as, I think it's personal things.
Okay, well, I'll try it, yeah. We'll do both.
Honestly, yeah. But yeah, so...
And Saint-Viateur, okay, I'm going to save it.
It's like, it was a family business and they got separated. And now it's
they were originally one place.
And oh, yeah.
Big
Dom in Montreal.
Wow.
Yeah. But bagels is like a very much staple here.
Yeah.
Do you get like a lot of time to like go around and like explore the cities while you're touring or no?
Not really. I feel like usually we have the morning, and if, you know, if it's not too long a drive, we'll have like a little bit of the afternoon before we get to the venue. But usually we have, usually we just spend all day in the car between shows, like going to the next city and then, yeah. And then sound check and like loading in and getting ready for the show. And then sometimes we'll have time to like go get dinner, but that usually means like not watching the opening band if you're going to get some food. But
for the opening bands, or the opening band in Montreal is who?
We have two. It's the first is Moon Type from Chicago. They're really great. And then Fantasy of a Broken Heart from New York. And they're really cool too.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Do you have like favorite songs at the moment?
From those bands or just from
those bands and another
Oh my gosh, there's so many. Let me think about the one from Fantasy of a Broken Heart. The one that's my favorite is called Your Heart Stops. Mm-hmm. And then Moon Type. So actually my bandmate Katie co-produced the Moon Type album, their new album. So I got to it's now out, but I was like already knew that.
Oh, you were already listening to it.
The song that I think my favorite song from it is called Four Hands Two. It has a really great music video too.
Yeah, I'm gonna play some of the songs before.
Cool. Yeah, they're both really cool bands and just nice people, so it'll be a good
and time. Your favorite songs of the moment right now?
Yeah, I really love this Australian act, Way Dynamic. This song called People Settle Down is like I need to listen to it every day kind of song.
Okay.
That's my hyper fixation song right now.
Yeah, those are needed.
Yeah.
Any wrapping messages?
Just please come to our show. It's gonna be really fun, and I'm excited to come in your beautiful city and play for you.
September 16th at Le Bar Le Ritz.
Woo!
Very exciting. Okay, wait, I'll stop the recording.
So that was the Frankie Cosmos interview. As I said, the show is September 16th, and I'm pretty sure they're still selling tickets if you guys want to go see. It's going to be definitely amazing. It's such a beautiful venue. And now I'll play one of their more popular songs. Let me look it up. I'll play Fool by Frankie Cosmos. Enjoy.
Name is a triangle. Your heart is a square. I love to see you way over there. Once I was happy, I found it intriguing. Then he got to me, left me waiting. You make me feel like a fool, waiting for you. You make me feel like a fool. Talk on darker days with our boots.
that was my show, The Waxing Gibbous. I'll be back in a couple weeks for my next show, probably in October. So yeah, and you can always follow me on Instagram at the.waxing.gibbous. That's it.
Listen with me.
You're listening to CJLO.